We drew the early maps of the sky. How it all started is the question.
Good morning. This is Gaming Perspectives with
Saul
and Jolene. And today we are talking about maps.
Maps and
they are your friend.
Are they?
I don't know.
Maps in RPGs.
There you go. There was a question.
By a listener. Listener Mike out there. Thank you for the question. And he was asking about maps and how, what kind of maps you give the players when you're playing a game. And I was like, what are you talking about? Because it was a really strange
conversation. That's Saul's usual response when you ask him a question.
So anyway, he was saying that how much detail do you put a map on a map that you put in front of your players? And I was like, I hadn't really thought of it that much. But I have in the past, when running a role-playing game, from any genre, I would put down a map. Whether it's a city, a building, what are the things? Terrain, an area, a state, the world. I would just put down a map without even thinking too much about it. But as I thought about the question, I was thinking, well, how much detail or how much information would the character know? And how much detail would you include in the map that you're going to give the players? For example, often in a role-playing game, a published adventure, they'll have the player's map and then they'll have the DM's map because the DM's map has more information than the player's map. In fact, the One Ring has exactly those kind of maps. The One Ring has a map that the players, that you give the players, that the players are theoretically supposed to like write on and scribble things on. And then the GM has a map and it has letters on it and it has places of interest on that map that the players are not going to have, what is it, aren't privy into that information.
Really? They have a separate map for the GM?
Yeah.
I've never seen that, but then again.
You're not the GM?
No, I mean, I've never seen that in any other game.
Oh, yeah, it's been done in the past, but of course, usually it's like in a scenario book, and it's a really simple, not a simple, but it's just the maps are a little bit more simple, and maybe it just has like a legend where it tells you what's in this room or in this town or where the inn is, where the blacksmith is, stuff like that.
When Saul told me that Mike had asked this question, I was like, okay. And he's talking and he's telling me stuff. And I go, I told him, I remember when we were, and I know we talked about this before, but we were in a seminar one time.
Oh, yeah.
And this guy was talking about maps or giving the information to the player. And when he said, how much information do you give the player? I thought about this because I can tell you all day long about this road and the trees, but if I show you an actual picture, then you and I might have the same vision. Because when I tell you what I'm seeing, it doesn't necessarily mean that in your brain, you're going to come up with the exact same thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so when it depends on a lot of factors as a GM about how much information you want to give to the players. So you can describe things left and right and give a lot of detail, but in the brain of each different player, they might have variations on what you're describing. And then the idea of having them imagine something and then plop down the picture, that really is interesting because they're thinking about what this place looks like, and then you give them a picture and you cement in their brain and say, oh, that's what it looks like. I think that's an interesting exercise, but I don't know if I would do that all the time, or I would probably only do it for important things. But then if you only do it for important things, you're kind of like forecasting, oh, this is an important thing, or this is something a little bit more unusual than normal.
What I took away from it was not necessarily that you had to tell them to think about what it was each time, but that if you want them to know what the cathedral looks like, show them a picture of the cathedral.
Yeah.
That's what I took away from it.
Right.
Whereas, like, for you, when we were talking about this, you said, do the players need to know where everything in the town is?
Yes.
Versus, do the players just need to see, do you just need to draw a line and say, this is the main street, here is your hotel, here is the diner, and here is the blacksmith?
Well, I think that's the really important part, right, is that when you are, as a GM, giving out information, putting down a pretty detailed map of the town or whatever you're putting down as on the table, those details matter, right? People are going to look at that and go, whoa, wow, this is what the town looks like. It's different from me scribbling 2-3 lines. This is the main road. This is the secondary road that's really popular. And most of the thing happens here and there. And maybe, like you said, put down the hotel where they're staying or the tavern or the high rise that they're staying in. But for the most part, that'll do. And also, if it, again, you got to take into account, what do the players know about this town? If they've never been to their town, and depending on the size of the town, they may only see the main street and a few side streets. But if you lived there all your life, not only do you know the main parts of the town or the small city or whatever it is,
you know where all the alleys are, and
you know where all the alleys are, and you know more stuff, like you know where certain types of people hang out, you know where the fence is, or more what do you call it,
shady
people are. So, like when you put down a map and it says the fence is lives here or is working on this house, there you're kind of giving away a lot of information, maybe more information that the characters would know. Now, I understand why GMs do this. It's real easy, right, to put down a map and not have to worry about anything else. And so when you do that, I think a lot of GMs just use it because of that. And I've done it in the past because of that. But now that I think about it, if characters and players are new to a town, I probably wouldn't put down the map of, let's say, Waterdeep. I would just put down like a big circle, and here's the main thoroughfares, maybe on a white piece of paper, or even on a player mat. And then as they explore and know things, you start pinpoint things down. And then after maybe they've been there a while, I'd go, oh, you know what? Let's forego my scribbling. And let's go with a map of Waterdeep and put that down.
Also, it depends on if your players have a map, right? Like, they could have a map. Like, someone had, I'm really interested in where we're going, so I bought a map.
Right.
And then there's a reason for you to put down the city map, right? Because they have it in their possession, right,
As a player. But, you know, I researched a little bit about maps and in the ancient world, because Mike mentioned in the question that in Rome, supposedly, they didn't have maps of locations of where people would go. They would just, like on a road, they would just put down the name of the city and how far in days it was to get there.
Well, that makes sense. Also, you got to think about during the Roman times, well, depending on, that was a long time, but
within 1,000 years of Rome.
The thing is that people didn't travel that much, so
yes.
But when they did, and even when they were going from their estate or their house or wherever they lived into the city, things would spook them easily.
What do you mean?
Well, because they're very superstitious.
Oh. I guess the only people that would really travel
would have been soldiers
or merchants, right? People bringing in stuff, unless that was handled by the Roman government.
There was a whole logistical thing, but that was more for feeding the army.
Yes. But they must have had merchants because that's what happened, right? They had a merchant class after a while who had made money. And
you get the goods from somewhere and you got to deliver them somewhere.
Right.
So during the Senate, when the Senate each senator raised their army from, if you think about feudal Europe, from their estates, right? They raised them when they needed an army. After the emperor,
they had a standing army.
They had a standing army, right?
Right. Yeah, they would have to have merchants.
And, so you have to.
Yeah. And the Roman roads actually helped with the moving of goods.
Right.
So I think in that sense, all you really need to know is how far the next town was.
Yeah. Well, and if you were a merchant, you would know more information than a person just living in the city who had never been out of it. Or correct, who had never been more than 5 miles away from.
And so their maps would probably be more like less with details, like what mountains and stuff or anything like that. They would just have like
because it wouldn't mean anything to you.
Lines with mileage or days between cities and say, because that would be important to a merchant who's like, oh, how many days out? How long is this stuff going to take to get here? How long does it travel? Does it take to travel from one city to the next? And so he could more or less determine what time, when stuff is going to get to a certain place.
Well, and I think that cartography or maps came about because of the people who sailed, right? Because they needed to know where things were.
Which is interesting.
So they didn't run into them.
Yes, which is interesting because when I researched this, they had... I went to this one website. I should write it down up. I might put it down in notes if I can find it again. Where they had maps it throughout history, and in the first one they had was of 150 AD, and it was a Greek map, right, of the world. It was actually not a bad depiction of the Mediterranean. Then they had all the way up until 1050. They had another map, the next map, and it was centered around. Well, it was centered around things in the Bible. So it didn't even look like a map. It just looked like a symbol. And, of course, like they had the Nile. Not the Nile, but the Jerusalem was big. And these big references to the Bible. So that was what depicted. And the rest was just blank space. And then the real maps that were really, like, detailed was from navigating the Mediterranean. So, but they were really good at
the coastlines.
Right? Yeah, the coastlines, because you could see the boot of Italy.
Yeah,
and what's that Corsica and the other islands out there, but everything else was kind of like just this blob. Like when you got away from
they're navigating the sea.
Yeah.
they don't need to.
And they didn't go into the Red Sea, so it was just this. They knew there was a body of water. So it just had like a tube. It just looked like a tube of blue water. And then like the Black Sea was just like a pond. It just had like a circle. But everything else looked pretty detailed, and I think it's kind of interesting because how are you gonna depict what things look like? I was like, well, how would they make a map? I mean, they don't have the ability to go up in the air and look down from very high. Of course, in a fantasy world, that's all done away with because you could ride or just as a magician, you could fly up to the sky and look down and make some notes in my notebook and see what things look like. So you could have detailed maps in the fantasy world. And then if you switch genres, like, let's say the cyberpunk world, well, everything's online, right? You got digital maps everywhere, anywhere.
Yeah.
But what I thought was funny is that if you switch to, like, 1990, where before Google Maps and stuff like that, you're stuck with...
The Rand McNally maps.
People don't know what they are.
And...
Because
not everyone has maps like I like have used maps. A lot of people do though, right? Like
I don't know.
Boss used to use maps all the time because I would have to deliver parts and we would have to know where we were going because we were in the big city, not a small town, right?
Yeah, the South Bay.
So we would just if Joseph hadn't been there and he couldn't tell if he had been there, he'd show me on the map. And we would go to Barnes and Noble or somewhere once a year and buy a map, right? Because they have the map of the areas and it's in quadrants because you can turn the pages and you can carry it with you in the truck as you're going.
Right, and it would change because there would be changes.
Yeah, there would be changes.
New roads would be built and stuff like that. Which goes on to another thing that I had in my mind is that. How do players perceive information, right? Or even characters. Like, for example, and this is kind of funny. Like, between me and you, you are very, probably because of those maps, you are very, like, detailed orientated as far as driving. Like, when you drive, this is how I imagine it. When she drives, she's like Google Maps in her head, right? She's the little dot is traveling along the road, and she knows more or less, like, the cross streets that she's going to cross on, let's say, Main Street, right? Okay, I know 2nd Street's going to cross here. I know Williamsburg is next, and then Jefferson, Hamilton, all the other streets, cross streets. And in your brain, you kind of know the map is in your brain. And you get to your destination by traveling the roads and knowing the streets and where they turn and where they sometimes end, and even sometimes when they change names because they cross the city limit or something else in the Bay Area. Now, that is not anything like I drive.
No, you turn at the big tree.
Yes. No. Yeah. And that was funny because I was like, well, different people process information differently.
You and Kathy, our friend, whenever you give me directions to go anywhere, it drives me nuts. She'll tell me things like, "You do you remember where this is? You turn there." And I'm like going, "Do you mean on Stevens Creek Boulevard?" And she goes, maybe.
Is that what the street's on?
And I'm like going, okay, you don't even know what street it is. How can I take you seriously?
Yeah, you go down the road where the old Sears used to be. It's not there no more, but it was there 10 years ago. And then you keep going. You turn at the Black Bear Diner. You keep going. You turn right at the Black Bear. And then you get to that hotel with the big tree. You know, the big tree on the symbol for the hotel. I think it's the Oak Ridge Hotel, the Oak Hotel. You turn left there and just 200 feet on the corner. That's where you got to go.
This is the kind of directions I get from him and my friend.
Where Jolene will describe, she'll tell you what street to go. Like, turn left here on this street. Turn right on this street. And she'll tell you the street names and how to get there. Which I understand why she gives me those kind of directions. Because that's it.
Because that's the way you give directions.
Well, is that true? I mean, obviously, it's more exact than my method. But is that because she has that map in her head? So I think it's... I mean, I don't know how far in the weeds Mike wants to get into figuring out how much detail to give to the players.
I think that goes into how people perceive what you tell them or give them, right? How what they see when you put down the map. Because I still remember, and it's story time now, I still remember a couple of things. One is there was this time when we were playing. It was either, yeah, it must have been 5e, and you put down the battle mat, right? And you go, okay, you're on this road, and you drew a road, right?
Yes.
And then you go, there's some hills on one side, and it slopes down on the other side.
To a river.
And you drew it lines, right? He just drew lines. And then came the questions. Steve says, now, how much does this hill go up? Is there cover? Are there trees? What does it look like? And Ian goes, when you say that it slopes down on the other side, do you mean a gentle slope? Or do you mean that it like is a drop? And then they wanted to know, how far can we see on both sides, right? Because he's taking the time to draw it on the battle mat. So we're going, okay, there's going to be some kind of an encounter here. So we need to know things.
A little metagaming there. And it's weird because I didn't even think about the act of drawing the map on a battle mat would trigger the
excitement around the table.
Oh, the excitement, but also the what is it? The radar.
Yeah. I need to see these.
Yeah, things, what's right? going on here? Why is he busting out the mat?
But that shows how when the GM said the importance of putting down a map, like Mike was, I assume this is what Mike is asking. You put down the map and the players, how much information do the players yes. really need to know?
Or how much would they know?
Would they know, right?
Right.
So it depends on if you traveled that road or not. But if you're drawing a road and you say there's a hill, you got to describe what the hill looks like to the players
right.
because they want to know. Or some of them do. Some of them don't care until they go, is there something coming at us?
So in the modern times, like today, if you were to...
Today you just put it into Google,
right?
As you're driving, right?
Like, and I think that would work well. Now, if you're like if you are in a like a 1990s game, like I was running Monterey Dresden, and I still have it set around 1991, 92. So Google hasn't even been existed. The internet, people use
you
it.
You pull out the map that you have of in your car, right? Because that's the way we used to travel with.
Or maybe Yahoo Maps was around and
no,
you could print
not,
it.
Not in 1991. We were
yes.
still. We,
yeah,
could,
you're right.
There, it wasn't. Yeah.
So you're stuck with the map. So I remember in Monterey Dresden, what I did is when we were in Monterey, so I grabbed a bunch of tourist maps, right?
Yeah.
And then when I ran the game at the convention, I threw a bunch of those out, and they're like, oh, and so it gave you some details, like, oh, you know, here's...
This is Fisherman's Wharf.
Fisherman's Wharf. But those maps lack any kind of detail,
right?
They just have the main street.
You have, like, a little seal an otter on the edge, right?
It's like a symbol. And so I'm like, well, that's what people new to the town would know. Now, if there were a couple of cops, characters who played cop... No, there were no cops. But if somebody had played a cop, from that town, I probably would have given them a map of Monterey.
Right.
Oh, this is a map of Monterey. This is what it looks like. But everybody else who was a tourist or wasn't from Monterey, they would get the tourist map and work with that. And I would say, I guess you could go buy a map.
Yeah, yeah.
But if they didn't say that, I would told the person who had the more, and it was just a small map of Monterey, right, not right. The whole freaking area.
It's only the area where you're at, right?
Right.
The Fisherman's Wharf.
Well, actually, just a map of Monterey, the whole city of Monterey. What I did is I gave that the one character who was from Monterey that map, and I go, this is your map, but this is more like your memory, so you don't really have this map. I guess you could go buy one, but unless you do that, you're the only one that can have this in your notes. So that's what I did, and it worked out really well because people kept looking at it and going, well, how do you know that? And I go, I told them it was because he lives here. That became kind of a thing. And they're like, oh, so anytime they had a question, they would ask the
player.
Actually, he was a former cop, of course. Yeah. Yeah, they would ask that player. And I think it worked out well. Like I said, it all depends on the genre and the amount of information the players could possibly get.
There's that, right? There's what the players know. And then there's other games like Feng Shui, right?
Oh, yes.
If you tell people that you're in a construction site.
Yeah, that's my favorite part.
So you can tell all the players they're in a construction site, and all the players might have a totally different idea about what's in a construction site.
Correct.
But if you're going to be fighting in a construction site, you don't have to tell them exactly what's there. You can just let them tell you what they're going to use from there, because that's the way Feng Shui works, right?
Right. If you remember, I think I've mentioned it before, but Robin D. Law is the writer of the game. He says, don't use maps, don't use anything. But what I would do, even because it's hard for me not to use a map, because it really helps
orientate
everybody, right? Yeah. Know how big the place is, kind of, and know where they are in reference to each other. So I still use miniatures and stuff like that. And if I don't, I just use dice to represent just the general location of people. But what I did was I just put it on a mat, and I just put details like, this is where the pit of the construction site is. And they haven't built a building. It's just a pit. I put down just general stuff. Like, this stuff is the big cement tubes. I guess they use for plumbing or sewer. I don't know what they are. And they kind of interconnect each other. I go, there's a whole stack of them here. And there's other stuff around. And so when people were asking about stuff, and they're like, well, I go, explain what it is. And I go, do they have a little a bobcat, you know, like a little bulldozer thing? I go, oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, so, and then I'll go, where is it? And they would like, oh, I think it would be right here. So I would just put literally right on the mat, bobcat, circle it, or make it a square. And I would add things to the mat as the players came up with stuff. But it was very difficult for them to think that way, right? Because they were like, what do you mean? Why are you asking me? Shouldn't you know? I kept getting those questions at the beginning. But then once they realized, oh, you know, I am able, I have player agency, I can add things to the world, I can add things that I think would be here, and also to make sense.
Right.
Right? If they would have said, well,
there wasn't going to be a ball gown at the construction site.
Yeah, or isn't there like a large silver case that has every weapon available that I can get? No.
It is Feng Shui, so you have a bag of that anyway, probably. Yeah,
but it's not going to be there, right? That's what ultimately.
Yeah.
I think it all depends on how much information the players have and what kind of game you're running.
And I think in any game, you should give the player the ability to, if you're someplace, yeah. Like if you're wherever you are in a tavern or whatever, if the player comes up with a good idea about what they want to use something around them, that all you have to do is say, explain to me what you mean.
Yeah.
And then let them explain it and let them go with it, right?
Right.
So that's one of the things about orientating the player to where they are. The map does that. Or if you tell them this is where you are. But the player agency is a really good idea to help them to be where they are, to be immersed in the situation.
Right, and it helps out the GM too. Well, I was just thinking, that's what I was going to say, is the Dragonbane game.
Uh-huh.
Where Felipe put down the map of the town that we're in.
Yeah.
It's just this big circle. And I think that map is very useful because it doesn't give you a lot of detail, but it does in a way, because like it has like little, if you look at the map closely, it has like a little, like on certain buildings, you can tell that it's the blacksmith building, and it has like an axe and something, or a blacksmith kind of.
It had an anvil.
An anvil. That's what it was. It had an anvil. So in the map itself was an anvil. So like if you were walking past the thing, you could see that there's a sign with an anvil. And you could kind of surmise that was a blacksmith. And indeed, that's exactly what it was. And I thought that was an interesting way of doing it, instead of like plopping down the map that has blacksmith, what is it, another word, the tavern or other places around. And there was some places of that looked interesting to us, right? Like in this town, the middle of the town was this old relic or an old catacombs, or I don't know what it was. It was a relic of an old city. And they just built a town around the relics of the remnants of the city. So we're like really curious about these like spires and stuff. And they go, oh, nobody goes there because people are really the people of the town were really superstitious, as you know most people are. And we, I think we might have gone there. There was an old hermit there who we talked to him. So I thought that was a very interesting use of the map that give you tidbits of stuff, but not a whole lot. And then of course we found a map of the Misty Vale,
right,
in the game, and it was very, very detailed. Well, it was very detailed for a
everybody map. Finds that map, right? If you're playing, if you're playing yes. that game, and because it helps you to know what you're doing.
Yeah, and it's part of the adventure, right?
Right.
One of the people is carrying a map, and you find it, and the map is sort of detailed, but it just kind of weird, right? Because it instead of telling you what stuff is, like one obviously looks like a mine. Right, it's an abandoned mine because it's a hole and there's a couple buildings, you know, dilapidated buildings. Another one, there are mounds that look like a, you know, like a burial mounds, I guess. Mm-hmm. But then there's some really weird stuff, like there's this large tree that looks like it's on fire and it has a face on it, and it doesn't look happy, right? And there's other tidbits like that on the map. And my brother, the GM, just goes, "Where do you want to go?" And we're like,
That was a difficult question for us because we're like going, looking we at discussed this map that going, wow, there's a lot of places we could go.
And we're basically treasure hunters at this point, right? And so we're like, well, where do we think there's going to be treasure? Well, I think a burial mound, they bury a lot of people with stuff in certain cultures. I don't know if it's that, you know, what they do here, but it's worth a shot.
No, they told us that, remember they
oh,
really? It was part of the lore that stuff was buried.
Well, that's it. Everywhere. Everything is loaded with riches and gold, if you think about it.
Okay.
I mean, from what we've been told.
So far, yeah.
Yeah. We haven't found anything, though. No.
No treasure yet. Only pain.
We struck out.
But that has to do with the game, right? With the
scenario in the world so far. Yeah. And that kind of map, like I said, what I like about it is that it does seemingly like a lot of details, but there isn't really, right? It kind of wants you to like explore the area, like place of interest.
Well, and then I know that when you ran the Blade Runner game.
Oh, yeah.
You used the map that it came with, right?
Right.
Which is like a shiny, cool map, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that one, it's a large area map of L.A.
And it has did they call them quadrants?
I think they're sectors.
Sectors, right. Yeah.
The sectors are lined up on them, are outlined on the map in big red borders. But it doesn't have a lot of detail. It just tells you, like, where stuff is on the map. Like, this is the, I forget.
But for people who watch the movie and know the lore of, or whatever you want to call it, of Blade Runner, when they see the map, they're like, oh. Because I remember Felipe going, because technically I had not watched the movie before I played the game. And I'm like, okay, what did you call them? Sectors?
Sectors, yes.
And but Felipe and Mike, when we did the playtest with Saul for his game, they're like, oh, Felipe's all, well, this is the sector you have to go to get from sector to sector. You have to do, it takes a certain amount of time.
Right.
And I'm like going, okay, it's a map of LA. I know it takes a while to get places.
Right.
No matter what year it is.
and it's a very, it's very non-specific map. It's just like very, it doesn't give you like details of the streets and stuff.
It's like futuristic.
And it's really cool looking, but it lacks a lot of detail, and it just has like big place of interest. Like, this is a police headquarters.
Yep.
This is I forget the name of the
corporation.
I forgot the name of the corporation. This is the name of this corporation here, the head of this corporation here. This is where in the movie Blade Runner, the owner gets killed, right? And so it gives you those kind of details, but other than that, it's just this huge sprawling city. And so when they give you more maps, it's usually more detailed, like this is where such and such lives, and they give you a picture or a diagram of the room or the house or the apartment that the person stayed in, because it's an investigative game. This one is more Blade Runner is kind of weird. I don't know if we ever talked about Blade Runner the game.
We did.
Okay. We talked about it, and so the adventures have like little handouts, and they're actual clues. Like the actual clues in the handouts are clues and stuff.
Because it is an investigative game.
Right.
Because you have to find somebody, you have to stop something, you have to figure out what happened.
Yeah, but like some people didn't get all the clues or didn't understand the clues or didn't see the clues or whatever you want to call it. So it's like a puzzle, right?
Right.
Do I stick puzzles in my games? No. I never stick puzzles in games because no matter how easy you think the puzzle is, unless it's like literally a numerical puzzle, like what's 2 plus something gives you 5. Okay, I got it. But like other kinds of puzzles, when we ran the big game, Felipe had a couple of puzzles in his game.
I told him to give him the answer.
And then he thought that they were really easy. Did you even remember the puzzles?
I don't know what the puzzles were, but they were in a library, right? And he goes, they're not getting the clues. I go, just give them the answers, because we were in a time limit. And I could look at the faces at this table, and they're like going,
ugly.
I am not going to ever figure out what this puzzle is, right?
And that's frustrating as all heck, right, for players. But so how much information do you give your players? Like when you plop down maps, when you plop down anything close to map?
I guess it depends on the situation. How much information do the players need to know?
Or how much information would the characters know, right?
Right.
Like a character who's never been outside of the town of Athens, would he know what Sparta looks like? He may have heard of Sparta. He may not know kind of what direction it is, but he wouldn't know what it looks like in Sparta.
Well, it depends on if he's a scholar or
that's
what.
That's true.
Right.
That's true. That's right. But, you know what I mean? So how much information does the character know? How much information does the player know of the stuff already? And and GM, how much work do you want to do, right? It's so much easier just to plop a map of the world and say, okay, what do you want to do? Where, well, over here there's Thracia, over here is Egypt, these blobs, this is Assyrians and Babylonians, and you're like, oh, okay, how far is it from here? You don't know. A long time to get there, So I think, as a GM, it's just easier just to plop down a map with a lot of details. But then, do you really want to give that much information to players? And would the players have that information, or would the characters know that information?
Well, it depends on the game, right? Because, like, if it's Shadowrun, all they have to do is click, 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 and
not even think
it.
About it,
they
right?
Just look in front of them, and their screen tells them, their vid monitor tells them.
Yeah, comm link. Yeah, exactly. It'll just put it on your eyelid. Other games, depending on the genre, and for example, a post-apocalyptic world. I remember in Gamma World, they give you this map of the United States where California is half flooded and parts of Florida are gone, and the lakes are all misshaped and stuff like that because of ecological disasters. But it was recognizable that it's the United States, and it had all these little dots of interest and stuff, and it was like cool. But it didn't have any other than that.
There
was no details. So it was a separate map, right? It was this pull-down map they give you, and you could actually, I guess, you would write on it. Ooh, forbid that I would ever write it and stuff like that. But it was cool, and it evoked some imagination of, oh, this is a different world than we're at. Also, like a game I'm really interested in trying out or exploring is the Moral Project. Now, it's an old game. It came out, I don't remember, in the 80s. It's gone through three editions that were basically the same. And then they have a fourth edition, but I don't know whoever owns it. I don't know what's going on, but they have yet to publish. They published the book, but they ran out and they haven't reprinted any more books. And they're saying that they're working on a slimmed down version of it because it was very, very crunchy. right? Which the original game is kind of crunchy anyway. But it talks about, you know, this blood loss and hydrostatic damage and stuff like that. The general idea is you go to sleep because...
And you wake up so many years later.
Right. There's going to be some sort of disaster. Somebody predicts a world war or something like that. And this super rich guy, and he freezes you in teams. And then you're supposed to wake up and rebuild the world for a better future. Well, you wake up, sometimes something went wrong, and instead of waking up like 50 years after the event, you're 200 years after the event. So things are totally crazy, and now you wake up, and maybe some of your stuff isn't there, and you don't have all the equipment, and so you're basically scientists and medical people, soldiers, out in the world trying to rebuild society.
And it's a totally crazy world. It's nothing like you left it.
No, of course not. Because the world blew itself up, and then the remnants of have gone into barbarism, maybe, or whatever has happened, right? Well, however you imagine that world afterwards. But
you would have to make the map as you went.
Yeah. I guess, would the satellites work and stuff like that? There would probably be no GPS unless they could reestablish
to
it. There might be. So, I mean, it would be all hit and miss and all stuff that you would have to be able to think up on what would happen. But the maps that they had in modern era, they would sort of fit, but then maybe they didn't fit because maybe that city doesn't exist anymore.
You could have given them a map and when totally they get wrong. Something there, somewhere, it's not there anymore.
So I think maps are important, and I think it's an important way of giving information to players. I think too many times people just give out the map that they have in the book or they find somewhere online, and it might have more details than you want to give your players. But again, it depends on how much work the GM wants to do on making a map or scribbling on a piece of paper.
That's right, and
giving the players either not really a lot of information because you want to keep that information kind of hidden so they can investigate and explore, or you just make it easy on yourself as a GM and give them the map, and the players will have to like pretend they don't see that, oh, there's a blacksmith there even though we have never been there. I'll ask around, and then that's where they'll tell us to go. Okay, that'll work. But other stuff like that can happen as the players play with you. But like I said, there's always a situation where the players might have more information than they should. And it's up to you, the GM, to decide. So, Mike, hopefully this answers your question. If not, I just confused the matter.
I'm sure you'll ask a different question.
Well, thanks for asking the question. We appreciate it. We appreciate any questions anybody has to ask.
So there you go. This is Gaming Perspectives with
Saul
and Jolene.
And you have a good day.
We drew the early maps of the sky. How it all started is the question, not why.